From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Terry Gilday. Most people who end up in the Salt Lake County Jail go in with some kind of mental illness or addiction to drugs. While there, they have access to mental health treatment. They usually leave sober. But support services outside of jail are difficult to find. In the final part of her series, Last Resort, KUER's Andrea Smarden follows some former inmates to see what happens to them after their release.
Joel Hunt is a physician assistant, but forget the image of a white coat or a sterile exam room. In a plaid shirt and jeans, Hunt gathers his medical supplies from a van, then knocks on the door of a rundown motel room. Inside the stuffy room, a radio plays while smoke drifts up from a cigarette in the ashtray. On the bed is a woman with her pants off, a large abscess on the back of her upper thigh. Hunt and another healthcare worker are checking up on a device they implanted to drain the pus from the infected area. She calls herself Alex, though she says that's not her real name. She says she got the abscess from shooting heroin, which she calls dirty dope.
I never was in trouble until I was 37, so I took my first crack cocaine.
Alex wears thick eyeliner and avoids eye contact. She says she's been on the run from a drug charge, but when she was caught, she was sentenced to a year in jail.
When I got out with not even a bus token. I had 2 cents to my name. I was in boxers and a wife beater, and it was February.
Alex says she quickly returned to what she called illegal activities. She says she did what she had to do to get money, but she believes things could have gone differently.
A little bit of help besides 2 cents in my pocket, it would have been real helpful.
All right, you.
All right, guys. Thanks so much, man.
You're welcome.
Hunt works for the 4th Street Clinic, which gives charity care to the poor and homeless. He treats those who wouldn't get care otherwise, and many of them have had run-ins with the law. As we get into the van, Hunt says he's watched many patients fall right back into trouble when they're released from jail.
I've heard plenty of stories of people getting in rides from jail, and that's when people have been brutally raped, beaten. That's where they've relapsed. I mean, a lot of bad things.
Hunt says a lot of critical decisions get made even in the first moments out of jail.
I don't know if you've been to the Salt Lake County Jail, but there's literally a ramp that they walk down. That's where it all often goes awry.
Hunt says the jail offers medical treatment and recovery services, but he says it doesn't help in the long term if people have no support when they're released.
My dream scenario would be having a jail ramp that spits people out into a sea of assistance rather than a kind of a barren desert of hopelessness.
So today, I wanted to talk about self-esteem.
Across town in the Sugar House neighborhood of Salt Lake City, people who suffer from mental illness are gathering for a group support session. Here is what you might describe as that sea of assistance that Hunt was speaking of. In the group is a man who's been to jail 3 times, but by all accounts has turned his life around. Dushan Petrovsky is an unlikely success story. He became homeless when he lost his job more than 5 years ago. He suffers from schizophrenia, alcohol addiction, and has abused other drugs, including cocaine. He has very little support from family or friends. Without any intervention, Petrovsky says he would have ended up back in the same place when they released him from jail.
Most likely I would have ended up probably going back to my old ways of using drugs and drinking.
Petrovsky's situation is unusual. Normally, a single childless man like him would not qualify for Medicaid in Utah. But because of his schizophrenia, the federal government could classify him as severely and persistently mentally ill. Mental health counselor Tammy Steen says the Legal Defenders Association contacted her office while Petrovsky was in jail to let her know that he might qualify. They helped him fill out all the required paperwork.
So upon his release, we were able to get him in with the doctor, get the medications that he needed, and then get him into treatment. And by getting him connected immediately, he didn't get lost. You know, he wasn't out on the street.
This cooperation between the Legal Defenders Association and mental health providers is the result of a program called Alternatives to Incarceration. It's a program designed to help seriously mentally ill people avoid the criminal justice system. By complying with treatment, Petrovsky got 8 outstanding criminal charges dismissed. He started getting a Social Security check. And The Road Home, a nonprofit organization, was able to provide him with housing. For Petrovsky, this was a turning point.
Having the housing is kind of having hope to moving on from my past endeavors, I guess. I would say probably one of the biggest things is actually having help.
Now Petrovsky is talking about trying to find a job, and if he can get the money, he wants to buy a truck. Tammy Steen says he's one of the lucky ones because he was able to qualify for Medicaid and Social Security. She says Petrovsky's case is living proof that providing this kind of comprehensive support can change somebody's life.
For him, it's a success, and for all of us, because he hasn't been a repeat offender and he's not sitting in jail with a mental health condition.
Petrovsky is one of over 400 people who have been involved in alternatives to incarceration since the program started about 2 years ago. Now, organizations like the 4th Street Clinic are starting similar programs. But Joel Hunt and others say these efforts are limited to the resources available. Many of his clients, like Alex, are not likely to qualify for Medicaid. If former inmates can't get health insurance, if they can't get a safe ride from jail, if they can't wait until a county-funded bed at a recovery center opens up, it's still easier to score drugs than to get help. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.